You inherit the state from your parents or whoever brings you up. It makes a lot of sense.
How do you validate that they are your parents?
Now, that's doable. That's doable. No, you're joking, but you can do that. You can do that if you want.
No, no. Look, genetic editing, it's something.
It's a thing. It's a very real thing that we should be very careful about.
And there's lots of scammers around.
Yeah, a lot of people claimed to be my parents. It happens all the time. People just show up and tell me they're my parents. I hate it.
And welcome to the first episode of Reckless Review.
Hello! Who's this?
Hey, Lawrence. Larry. Larry.
Hey, Larry. It's Woody.
Hey, Woody.
So, we both have great English accents, so this should be fun. For everyone involved.
Do you think we need to pay someone for subtitles?
I think we need to. I don't think we're going to. So, yeah. So, this is Reckless Review. Episode 1 of Reckless Review. And we are your co-hosts, Udi Wertheimer and Lawrence Fishburne.
No. Lawrence Nahum.
Lawrence Nahum. I was close.
True.
Yeah. So... yeah, we just thought that there are not enough podcasts in Bitcoin, so we should make a podcast, probably the first podcast on Bitcoin ever, and blockchain.
And blockchain. So, yes. We want to be open-minded.
Yes. I don't want to be tribal or toxic in this podcast. I want to be very open-minded.
A little maximalist, but not too much, right?
Yes, I'm open-minded maximalist.
Right. Yeah. I think we're a sub fork, an interesting one.
Yeah.
More to that on that later, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start. I'm just coming off a Twitter session where I retweeted a lot of people talking about delete Coinbase. Did you hear about Delete Coinbase?
I saw a couple of tweets, but I was busy doing
stuff.
Did
you hear about Coinbase? Do you know what Coinbase is?
Yeah, I know about Coinbase. And I saw some tweets about people deleting their accounts on Coinbase. And I even heard about some problem with people not able to delete their account on Coinbase because they had dust on the wallet. And I immediately thought, oh, wait, we probably have the same issue with our wallet. And I still need to check, to be honest.
But I guess it's a bit different.
It's a different model. The UTXO are really associated with a specific user. In Coinbase, they're shared, so it makes less sense. And Lightning should also make it easier to spend those dust levels, right?
Yeah. Well, everything is off-chain on Coinbase, so everything should be easier. Should have been easier.
Yeah, but you cannot transfer off Coinbase. The whole point of deleting your account on Coinbase is probably...
Well, if it's just dust, I don't think you care. But wait, did you...
Okay, give them an option, but yeah, tell me.
Did you hear about the Neutrino acquisition?
Yes, I heard about them, and I found out that from LAN. And then I found out that at some point in the past... I must have searched for them on LinkedIn and request... something on LinkedIn.
Yeah, they're Italian, right?
Yeah, they're in Milan. They're in Milan. And I must have searched for Bitcoin in Milan at some point to find, other people interested in the space. And I came across it.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know much about this.
Yeah, so apparently they have some history. I mean, some of the leadership in Neutrino, which is, a blockchain analysis company, so they apparently have some history with Hacking Team, which was
also Milan.
Yes. Yeah. So it was this company that kind of built spyware tools for various
governments,
regimes, governments, and so on. And they actually, you know, they actually helped imprison like activists and you know, how do you say, rights activists, human rights activists, and so on. So, so that's Hacking Team, and some of the leadership from Hacking Team moved on to apparently to Neutrino, which was recently acquired by Coinbase, and Breaker Mag, which is an online cryptocurrency magazine thing, and also The Block. Both of them released stories that tie, you know, tie these people from Hacking Team to Neutrino and then to Coinbase, and that's why a few people started deleting their accounts. Because, you know, you don't really want Coinbase to spy on their users with, like, actual spies.
You know, I heard an argument from them, not specifically to Neutrino, but in general to to analytics, or not analytics, Coinalytics, right?
Yeah.
Which was, you know, we could outsource it to an external company. We're going to do it. We could outsource it to an external company, but without that, our data, it's not worth... you know, giving to them.
Yeah.
Whether it's for security reason or because they want to sell it to someone else is a different matter. Right?
Well, I understand that they're going to do it and that they don't really have a choice. But maybe... Yeah, I don't know. If I was a real Coinbase customer, I mean, I closed my account, but I was never very active on Coinbase. But if I was a real Coinbase active user, then... I wouldn't want like actual spies who have actual spying experience for actual governments were the ones spying on me. I would prefer that would be like more, you know, more normal people doing it, I guess.
And also long term, what does it really say about fungibility?
That's like a big subject. I mean, can you even use Coinbase and those regulated exchanges while having any chance at fungibility at all? I don't know.
I heard that under certain amounts, I really don't know whether it's you know, 100 or 3,000, but under certain amounts, with a bunch of hops, people from Wasabi and whatnot tend to not have issues. But really, I think it's because it's small amounts and because they're not advanced enough yet, or they don't care enough yet.
Yeah. Yeah, but the problem is that, you know, it's registered forever, so...
Yeah, I don't think a couple of hops is going to really keep anyone looking in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the real problem, because they can always look back. They don't have to do it now. They can do it, like, whenever they want.
Which is why Lightning... It's interesting. If you weren't there to hear for it, you're not going to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Lightning is great. I you know, in the Bitcoin embassy in Tel Aviv, so we're it's like this open space where people can come and like talk about Bitcoin and maybe work on Bitcoin and so on. So so we sell like small stuff like beers and a little bit of food. And we used to sell it for Bitcoin, and now the embassy sells it for Lightning payments. So, you know, people actually use Lightning quite a lot, mostly for beers, but they use it, you know, very regularly at the
embassy. Coffee as well. Yeah, look, I wasn't there for Lightning, but I saw it for Vanilla on-chain Bitcoin one time that I was there. I even took a picture with the white paper on the wall.
Yeah, yeah, we have a Hebrew light, white paper. Yeah. So yeah, we you know, people use it, and I feel for myself that whenever I use Lightning, I don't know, it feels kind of better than using Bitcoin, because you know that you don't have like the record forever about buying a beer. It just feels nicer in a way. So yeah.
Do you think there's more work to be done around fees?
In Lightning.
Yeah, not so much about the routing, which I'm sure, you know, everyone thinks there's a work to do when people are working on it. But I'm thinking in terms of fees. Because at the moment, my understanding is it's kind of still developing, right?
Yeah. I remember early on I had some problems when trying to pay. There are a lot of things with fees, right? There are the on-chain fees and the off-chain fees, and you kind of have to handle both. And you have to keep making sure that you'll have enough set aside for on-chain fees for whenever you want to close the channel, and you want to keep this up to date with the on-chain fees that are, you know, based on mempool size and so on. So you have to keep changing it
and predict it,
which is kind of impossible. And you also need to do the whole off-chain fees thing for routing, which is completely different. And you kind of have to do both. So I remember that early on I had problems because different implementations predicted the on-chain fees differently, and channels would close down because each party for the channel wanted different fees, and they couldn't negotiate to some decision. So channels would close down because of that. It didn't happen recently, so it seems like these incompatibilities were fixed. But yeah, it's really like complex. There's a lot involved. Yeah. But the nice thing is that it keeps improving, you know, and you see that it works better. If you use Lightning, then you can really see how it's evolving and advancing. So that's
very fast. Yes, there's something new every couple of weeks, and it's been great. And the Lightning Torch, it's fantastic.
Yeah. A lot of people are probably, it's the first time that they're trying out Lightning, you know. I see a lot of people who kind of want to, want to get in on it and want to hold the torch, so they download Lightning for the first time. Which brings me to, a lot of people who try Lightning for the first time try it with these custodian wallets, custodial Lightning wallets. Like, I think there's one called Blue Wallet, and another one is, I think they call it Satoshi's Wallet, something like that. And basically, it's you probably haven't tried any of these, right?
No, I heard of them, but I don't even know if the ones you mentioned are the ones I heard of. Yeah. I just heard of the generic concept, and we had custodian wallets forever, so it's not like it surprises me that they exist.
Yeah.
I don't know. It shouldn't be the go-to, I think.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they're much easier, they're much easier to use. So if you try something like Eclair Mobile, which is a pretty good wallet for Android with Lightning, which is, you keep funds in your self-custody, you're not giving them away to anyone, then it's much more difficult because you have to open channels manually, you have to know what it means, you have to decide who you're opening channels with, and, Maybe sometimes the payment doesn't go through and you don't understand why. So, people like you and me, I guess we understand Lightning at a good enough level to know what's going on. But if someone just wants to grab the Lightning Torch and that's the first time they, even thought about Lightning at all, then I can see why that's not the best experience for them right now.
But it's the same argument about, someone very not tech-oriented would probably be better off holding their coin, a small amount of coins, with someone custodian.
Don't say Coinbase.
No, I'm not saying Coinbase. But, and I'm not going to say any exchange or any custodian wallet, really, because I completely disagree with the idea. And in fact, I think that people that are not committed to understand a little bit more about what they're holding shouldn't hold it in the first place. Mm-hmm. If you have to go through a little bit of pain to learn on, how to keep your mnemonics or private key safe, or depending on amount, even get a hardware wallet, then so be it.
Yeah. Well, but what about people who, they think that other people will want to hold Bitcoin and learn about mnemonic seeds, but they don't care about it themselves. So they think that some people will use it and they just want to be exposed to the upside in the financial asset that's called Bitcoin, and they don't care about the details at all. So I guess they deserve some sort of custodial solutions, right?
You mean like ETF style or something like that?
Let's say ETFs.
Okay, but anyway, some proxy, some custodian, someone that holds it and promises to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a few vehicles like that. You know, there are different structures that people have tried, some better, some worse. I think people are very happy when Bitcoin moons and very upset when Bitcoin crashes. And people become, you know, very scared and whatnot. I don't know. As I told you, I think people should invest the time if they want to hold it.
Yeah. I'm just being a devil's advocate. I kind of feel the same way. I mean,
but what about gold? Should you get it delivered or should you hold some paper, you know, gold?
I keep all my gold under my pillow. All of my gold.
Okay.
It's very easy to sleep like that.
I thought it was at the end of the rainbow, but all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it's a good question, right? Because I guess being the custodian of your own gold is not something that a lot of people do, I guess.
So, right, but maybe a couple of coins or whatever. You know, some people have some, I don't know.
I guess.
I'm not a big gold bug. I mean, I love the principle. I love the principle, but I don't know. Seems too much slippage.
Too much atoms.
No, too much slippage. Too much friction. Like people have to verify it, and then you know, selling it. If you sell a small amount, you're probably I don't know. You're not gonna make good money.
You know, in Israel, it's a real mess, by the way, to get gold. I didn't ever look into it, but this is what people always keep saying, that there are like crazy taxes on it. It's not something that's considered possible to make a profit of.
But also, where do you follow the instructions, read the white paper, download the software to verify? You know, it's not the same.
For gold, yes.
For gold, it's complex, and I don't know how to verify it. And so
but people don't verify anything. We might be the only two people who verify things. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. We mentioned this before. Was it with you? But yeah, some people don't verify. You know, they don't build their own sources, or even if they use binaries, they don't verify the signatures of the binaries.
I like that you say some people, as if, you know, there are like five people who don't.
It really depends on which groups you're looking at. If you're looking at hardcore developers or hardcore people, or, you know, medium or the newbie. And there's levels in between. Like, one thing I really hate are websites that tell you to, you know, wget some bash script and then just execute it.
Yeah.
Especially as sudo. You know, and it's kind of nuts.
Because you never know what's in there. But you see, that's most people would just copy paste and never have a second thought about it. You're talking about like technical people and developers, but most people, if they get so far as to copy a command into the command line, they probably have no idea what it says. Which is, even if someone tells them that you should verify the PGP signature, then, you know, they're just going to copy a few commands to do that, and they still don't have any idea what's going on.
Yeah,
they're definitely not doing the web of trust thing to verify the actual keys. So that's a big problem.
Yeah, but I don't know. It makes me feel good that people can do it.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I do it, and I'm happy that we can do it. I mean, my concern is kind of how do we get more people to do it? Because I'm going back to the Bitcoin Embassy in Tel Aviv. We hosted, I think we talked about it before, we hosted a workshop, a free workshop, that where we taught people to install their own full nodes on their own machines. So they came with like old PC boxes or old laptops, and they installed Linux from scratch, most of them for the first time. And then they, you know, installed full nodes and Lightning nodes and Electrum personal server and so on and so on, so that they can, you know, use that as their main wallet or whatever. And it took us like, I think it was two parts, and it took us about 10 hours to go through everything with the 12 people who showed up.
And that's without waiting for the synchronization, right?
Yeah, so we stopped in the middle. We sent everyone home, and seriously, we did it like in two parts, and they synced it at home and came back. So it was 10 hours, not including the time for syncing it. So it was great, but I'm not sure how scalable it is, you know? How do we get more people to do it?
So first of all, it's not about having more nodes, right? It's about having more nodes as long as you go and use it. Run your own wallet against it. You verify your own transaction against it.
Which is a big part of what took us a long time. We wanted people to understand what it is and how to use it as their wallet. But, and you know.
So are you saying that there's nothing streamlined and nobody working on it? Or there's people working on it, it's not quite there yet?
People are definitely working on it.
Right?
Yeah. So we have like things like
Node Launcher, Nodal, yeah. Casa, homemade solutions of various kinds.
Yes. Yes, people are definitely working on it. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of interest in it lately, like in the last few months probably. We're seeing a lot more people trying to build better, easier solutions, which is great. So, I don't know what's the best way to do it, but it's great that a lot of people are trying a lot of different approaches. which one do you like?
So, first of all, I have a question there. Do you think there's actually real interest, or is a bit of a echo chamber? And, you know, we're all really interested in this, but then ultimately, you know, maybe we're a few thousand, and it's... Like, is it a viable business where they can sell enough to be sustainable and support them for long enough? Like, I have no idea how many years are these things supposed to last? Are they planning for this to work, you know, assuming worst-case scenarios, for 2 years, for 4 years, for 5 years? I have no idea. I haven't tried. I mean, I build my own things, and then I can only do, you know, rough estimates.
Right.
I did a little bit of testing, to be honest, and it's interesting what you find. Not everything is the same, so it's hard to judge whether it was because you had more RAM or because the CPU was different or because the USB versus SATA.
I tried a few of them, and, well... First of all, your question about, you know, maybe it's an echo chamber and how big and sustainable this is, I don't know. It seems like it's probably not, you know, the interest is probably not huge. I'm happy that there's some interest because, you know, I remember talking with people like 2 years ago about full nodes, and most of them would laugh at my face. I mean, they wouldn't believe me that I'm running a full node. Like, why? Why are you using a full node? How are you, what way are you using a full node?
It's amazing how Lightning is fueling that. Don't think it's right.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is because of Lightning.
And it's weird given the context you gave me that, oh, but you can run, you know, a custodial Lightning wallet, but they still want to run their own full node. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you guys using mostly Node Launcher or like when you did the two session?
Yeah, so we actually didn't use anything. We did everything from scratch. So we helped everyone install Linux from scratch, and then you know they moved on to install Bitcoin Core from scratch with you know setting their own config files and so on. So we helped everyone build everything from scratch, and we tried to help them understand it enough so that they can update it over time. If they want to maintain it over time by themselves, because none of these, you know, none of the solutions like Casa and Nodal are, you know, they're still young. I'm not sure which one of them, how many of them are going to stick around and be there for the long term. And also, I think that if people are interested in that, then learning about how to build the actual thing is, it helps you understand what it is and how it works.
Yeah, but wait a second. You told me about Linux, and I'm sure that, but the way, you know, you started talking about config file, are you talking about command line? Because maybe, I mean, are you thinking that the solution here is to streamline the whole process, possibly with no command line involved? Because it seems to me that the barrier is going to be very steep if you have to first teach about installing Linux from scratch, which is not hard nowadays, probably easier than installing Windows, to be honest.
Yeah.
But still, there's questions about formatting your disk and what packages you want installed that not everyone know how to answer, and maybe networking as well could be confusing for some.
Oh, yeah, there were a ton of questions. I was surprised. I forgot how confusing it is for the first time. To install Linux, because
it's much better than it was 15 years ago.
It's not as bad as it was, but I mean, it's not bad at all, actually. But you only install something for the first time once, and the next times it's no longer the first time. So I forgot what the experience is of doing it for the first time, and when I saw so many people doing it for the first time, I realized what kind of confusion you have. So back to what you asked, obviously, people are not... This is not what the mainstream is going to do, obviously. Most people are not going to get a box, install Linux, whatever. They need some...
What about streamlined?
So, yeah, I think what I like about the Casa node specifically is that they have, like, really great software. I'm not sure about the hardware part, and I hope that they'll evolve it over time. But the software part, it seems very easy to use, and it speaks to you in a language that is very simple. And it has colorful buttons and so on, so people seem to connect with that.
I would like to know how many dependencies the whole package has. Because if I understand correctly, this is all JavaScript. And maybe, they've been very careful and reduced the libraries to the bone. But I'm just a bit afraid after the few issues. And we still have one app that we're migrating off JavaScript as fast as possible, really. Because... I'm a bit afraid of some of the libraries out there.
Yeah. So what's the alternative? Because you need to somehow access the node remotely. I mean, not remotely. It can be from your network, but you have to access it somehow, and it probably doesn't have a screen. So it's probably a web interface, right?
Well, that's what most people go for. It's the easiest thing to do, and there's a bunch of frameworks that make it easy. But then I don't know how, many are not up to date, and people tend to... be lax about, I mean, maybe not in this space, but in other space, people tend to be lax. And even in this space, we have lax people.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, my preference there would be some level of mobile app or desktop app, because then you're talking, through network. The surface is smaller.
Yeah.
You should be able to reduce the dependencies to the bone.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have like a whole browser running in the background just so that you can change your port or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I also tend to avoid just-in-time because I had nightmares with BIP38 in the past, especially on Safari. In general, yes, I prefer. But I do realize that this is a ton more work, right? You do a web page, you support every mobile, every desktop in one go, least if you do it right.
A lot of times when people do, even when they do desktop or mobile apps, they still use web technologies behind the scenes, like React or whatever, or, like Electron or whatever. So you still actually have a browser running everything, and you still have everything in JavaScript, even when it's... technically a packaged app, native, in quote unquote native app.
Well, so, they got to the point where they look beautiful too.
Yeah, they look good. They look good, but the text surface is definitely much larger than most things, which isn't great for Bitcoin. It could be good for many other things, I guess, but for Bitcoin, it's not great.
Yeah, and in general,
Yeah, it's kind of what happened with Koinomi now, more or less.
You think so? I mean, this wasn't a JavaScript issue, right? Or libraries in JavaScript issue or dependency issue.
It was a dependency. Yeah, they had a Java framework, which I forgot its name. It was a Java framework that puts web forms somewhere. And the Java framework by default would spell check every form. So if you had like a text input field, then by default it would send all the data to Google to spell check it. And they didn't turn it off. It's a weird default. I don't understand this default setting, but that's the default. And the developers probably weren't aware of it, so they didn't turn it off. And turns out that everything got sent to Google, which isn't great.
Well, yeah, these things sometimes happen, though. Clearly. I remember when we released the first version of our... I think it was our first Android mobile app. The QR code scanner library that we used. Some angel reported that it was saving the QR code scanned in clear text in the user data directory.
Oh.
Which, you know, is still better than sending them somewhere, but. It's bad for privacy at minimum because you could scan, you know, addresses from other people. But even worse, what if you were scanning paper wallets,
right.
Especially private keys or mnemonics? We fixed that as soon as possible. So I don't know this is an industry that where you have to improve all the time, right? Constantly.
Yeah, it's hard. You were lucky with the kind of a responsible person who disclosed it in a nice way. I think the Koinomi people might have been a little less lucky, because what happened there is that the person who disclosed it, he claims that he had his funds stolen, which, you know, if it's true, it would mean that someone with access to Google spellcheck APIs found the seed in there and stole the coins, which... I guess it's possible, but it's not the most likely thing in the world, but it's possible. So that's what he claimed. And, you know, in back and forth discussions with them, he kind of threatened that if they don't send the money back to him, he will publish everything. So the way it ended is that, you know, it wasn't responsibly disclosed. He kind of disclosed the bug on Reddit and Twitter and so on. And
I wonder when the money got stolen, like whether it was close to the announcement or whether it was many months ago and then he discovered this bug by searching.
I'm not sure. I think it was recent, but I'm not sure. I don't know. It's hard to tell with those things because...
You never know.
Yeah. It's very easy to make it look like you had your money stolen, but then again, sometimes you really do have your funds stolen. So it's
You find a bug, you steal your own money, and then you report. That was the reason. Yeah, it's not impossible.
Yeah. So let's see. Did you get to read anything interesting lately? Anything new?
Let me think.
I'm trying you.
Well, not exactly, but I had a very interesting conversation. So a few months ago, I was thinking, you know, I wonder how hard it would be to get C-lining on inside AB Core, because I already got Bitcoin Core there. C-lining needs the Bitcoin Core RPC.
AB Core, I'll just say, because probably some of our listeners don't know, AB Core is the... Bitcoin Core implementation or Bitcoin Core wrapper that can work on Android phones, right? Android devices.
Right. Yeah. It's an Android app that I created that runs the Bitcoin Core binaries with minor modifications to run on Android. I upstreamed most of the changes, so now it's very tiny. And in fact, I forgot to say, Udi, thank you for the pull request. And I've been a bit slow on releasing this because I've been...
You're busy.
Yeah, I've been very busy on other things.
That's fine.
Like this podcast.
It's a busy podcast.
Yes. So, yeah, I was trying, and I got a little bit stuck because of SQLite, which is not too hard to build on NDK for Android. But I was curious of what was the best way, because apparently SQLite is already embedded in Android, but it's only accessible through Java and not through the native interface. Anyway, I think I'm getting too much into the technical woods.
Matters.
Yeah. But, Rusty said that he wants to help, see what's needed, what changes are needed to get that working. Because we would like to have C-Lining being able to run on an Android device. I mean, it's Linux, it's different glibc, it's different some stuff, but it's possible.
Yeah, it should be possible. And it can be very... It can be nice because it can be very easy to install for most people, I guess. You just click on a button in Google Play Store and hopefully most of the things can be set up for you, so that's nice.
So are you saying that AbCore is a full node Casa nodal node launcher contender, because you just run it on Android and you're done, you don't have to
I think it could be
and it's polishing.
Yeah, it needs a lot of polishing, but it could be. The nice one nice thing about it is that you kind of get simple containerization in Android. So it's, if you have your laptop and you install Bitcoin Core on it, then unless you know how to configure stuff and user permissions and so on, then probably a lot of a lot of stuff on your computer will have access to that.
Yeah, basically, unless you're using Cubes, you're probably running Bitcoin Core as the same user as everything else.
Yeah,
your user is, and
so at least on Android you get for free some basic
separation.
Yeah, not perfect, but you get something. So
everything runs as a separate user on Android, and in theory the user data is encrypted. Like, it's encrypted by default on Android nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, so other apps should not have access to what's going on in your node. So that's very good. It's not perfect. It's not as good as having separate hardware, but it's pretty good. So I think that for starter, it's never going to be the perfect setup to run a node on Android. But it's a good starting point, I think. If people want to try out running a node for the first time, this can be a very easy way to do it.
It's not yet, but with a lot of work, it could become the easiest option, provided that you got a reasonable Android device.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. It takes a lot of time to sync. I tried it with actually a lot of devices, and it takes a lot of time with each and every one I tried.
I think some of it can be slightly optimized, but I agree with you. The I don't know what you were using as a disk destination.
I tried like the built-in memory, which is usually wasn't fast, so it's not great.
But I think a bigger problem nowadays is that I don't like the idea of the full node running the same process as the network. I really like the idea of separating the full node from from the wallet as much as possible. I think that's a good idea, and people are doing it, so
yeah that will take time, but yeah. You mean separating like the wallet process from the node process in Bitcoin Core?
In Bitcoin Core, but ideally in every wallet. on mobile, it's a bit harder, but on mobile, you already have the separation, as you said.
Yeah.
And on at least at the user level, not at the network versus the wallet keys level. Although you do have key stores on mobile devices like Android and iOS.
Yeah,
and on desktop, what you could do is run separate process and talk through socket file, something like that. And obviously, hardware wallets all the way. Any hardware wallet is better than not using one.
Yeah. Do people still use non-hardware wallets? Yeah, I guess they do. But yeah,
especially old wallets, right? I mean, people. And the other thing is. People get an amount that at some point doesn't require a hardware wallet, at the later point requires a hardware wallet because simply the price moves.
Yeah.
But moving the coin is a friction, and they don't know which one is best, and they're confused.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, trying to switch wallets seems to be confusing for most people that I interacted with, you know, most non-technical people that I interacted with.
It's hard for technical people, mate.
It's frightening. It's mostly frightening.
Yeah.
You have to make a transaction and you're scared because until you're done, you never know. So yeah.
I'm scared in testnet. Well, it's hard to come by testnet coins nowadays.
Yeah, it is. Nowadays it is.
But I'm happy for my own Ragdust.
Yeah, Ragdust is nicer. It's nicer. Easier on your fans usually too. On the fans on the laptop.
So you asked me if I read anything interesting recently. What about you?
So one thing that I was really excited about was Chris Belcher's Bitcoin Wiki entry on privacy.
Oh, yes.
I've been raving about it for days. It's really great. It's very long, but I think that anyone who cares about privacy even a little bit should take the time to read it, because it's not that there's a lot of things new in there. You know, it's not that there are any huge discoveries, but it's a good collection of a lot of ideas that were thrown around over the years in multiple places.
I must be honest, I only skimmed through it, and I found the content good, so I retweeted it. I didn't go through every single detail, so I haven't done a thorough review. It was a reckless review, you know.
Yeah, you can review it recklessly.
Yes.
Someone like you, if you read it, you'll probably not learn a lot of new things, but I think that for most people who didn't have time to really think about privacy very seriously, that's a very good primer on what they can expect from Bitcoin and how they can improve their own privacy. And also, you know, a lot of people are interested in privacy coins lately, like Monero and Zcash and now the Mimblewimble coins. But it's, you know, it's always weird to me, but people always get excited. There's a new privacy coin, so everyone's temporarily excited about privacy, but they wouldn't go, you know, they would never go the extra mile, right? They will never go and learn about it and understand, because you don't get privacy for free. You don't get magic privacy. You have to really know what the pitfalls are and learn about it and understand it and protect yourself actively. It doesn't just happen for free because you're using some magic.
Yeah.
But people, so it seems like when people are excited about privacy coins, it's usually because they expect them to pump. I don't think it's because they actually believe they're gonna,
make money.
Some privacy. No, they think they're gonna make money, but they don't think that they're gonna restore their privacy using it, because it seems like they don't really care. Usually, I don't know. At least because it seems like most people don't put in the time. You know,
I don't know much about how successful Zcash is, for example, given that it has only a very minority of the transaction are using the shielding. Or that was my understanding. Monero is better in that sense. Green, I really don't know that much about it. But I was thinking, wouldn't the right test to do here is overview the dark markets and see what they are using?
And I guess. I remember people usually say that they're using Monero, but
like speculation is good, but let's see actual use. Are the privacy coin used?
If we measure by speculation, then I would say that they all failed, probably. They're all doing pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's the winter season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the winter season, but you have great coins, futuristic coins like Tron that are doing very well relatively to privacy coins. You know what Tron is?
No, I don't.
You don't know what Tron is doing?
Well, you know, I heard of this
heard
term
of
thrown around, but you know, there's 2,000, there's 2,000 plus, I think 2,200 coins on CoinMarketCap, and
it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, can you recite? I don't know, 100 of them?
No.
Right.
No. No way. But, you know, Tron is famous. Everyone's talking about Tron. I don't think that anyone knows what it is.
Yeah, it is famous because it's one of the one I heard. But
yeah,
it's probably famous for the wrong reasons.
It's famous because they're professional, famous people. That's why it's famous. They're very good at making it famous. That's the
Okay, marketing coin. Yes, so tell me more.
It's a very good marketing coin. It's too late now. You should have recognized it early on as the best.
Oh, I see. I wasn't in the private Telegram group chat pre-sale.
Yeah, I guess you weren't. Too bad for you. No, Tron is the new Bitcoin, to say the least. But yeah, whatever.
Nice.
Yeah.
But what extra thing does it offer?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think
it's Ethereum 4. Do I need to Google it live?
Let's learn what Tron is.
Okay.
Let's do a reckless review on Tron.
Tron. Where do you search for Tron?
If you just type Tron in Google, I promise you that it's the first time that it's the first thing that shows up for sure.
Oh yeah. It's EOS first and then Tron.
Wait, you searched for Tron and you found EOS first? That doesn't make sense.
No. There's a Cointelegraph article which has China's 10th crypto rankings. EOS still first.
Ah.
Tron joins and beats Ethereum to second. I heard about Ethereum as well.
I'm so envious of Chinese.
No, wait. There's one called GX Chain. Never heard of it. It's fourth. It's after Ethereum. Then there's BitShares. I heard of this one. I thought it was a joke, but I don't know why it's still there.
It is a joke. Isn't
okay.
It?
Ontology number six. Ontology doesn't sound inspiring.
No.
Nulls also doesn't sound inspiring. Lisk. I heard of Lisk.
Lisk is the JavaScript Ethereum. I remember that.
Oh, they could have gone Lisp, and
they, they could have,
but they didn't. Have. Okay, Steam. I heard of Steam. I thought it was something for video games, though.
Steam. No, it's like they tip each other on a blog post website. You have
okay. And Neo. I heard of Neo, and I immediately thought Matrix stuff, but no.
No, that's disappointing. Well, I'm very envious of Chinese people because their government helps them choose blockchains. That's very nice of them.
Oh, are those sponsored?
I don't know.
I mean, approved.
They are approved blockchains, yes.
Okay.
Recommended blockchains. They just rate the best. Is Bitcoin on the list at all, or is it like...
No, wait. It's not.
It's not on the list. Well, Bitcoin is old and it doesn't scale.
I see.
So it shouldn't be on the list. Yeah, I understand.
But maybe it's in the top 15. You know, this is only the...
it's 10. Only top 10. Yeah, Bitcoin is number 11 on the top 10 Chinese...
Okay, so everyone is bearish on Bitcoin. I get it.
Yes, because why would you use Bitcoin? Why would you? I mean, you have Ethereum is faster and... I don't know which what other ones.
Ethereum is faster. It has more Turing. I heard
more Turings.
More Turings, and there was something that was a red herring. I don't remember which part.
Something was a red herring. The Turing completeness was a red herring.
Yeah, but the state it was important to the state.
Rich statefulness is what you're looking for. Rich statefulness. Yes. Because that's what it's all about. When you want to... Actually, when you want to what? I don't even know with this...
For smart contracts,
yes.
Yes.
If you want to smart contract something, then you want rich statefulness. Exactly.
To freeze... Like, imagine you wanted to take a nice big wallet and freeze it. For that, wouldn't you need, like, rich full...
Statefulness, yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course. Of course. I don't know what smart contracts are for in the Ethereum world. I know what smart contracts are for in Bitcoin. I don't know what they are for in Ethereum. I mean, what do you do with the smart contract? Someone told me like a year ago, a lot of, there were a lot of new blockchain startups in Tel Aviv in the last 2 years because it was a lot of hype. So someone explained to me.
You don't say.
Yeah, you may have heard of it. So someone told me that smart contracts are, you know, it's like a contract. So let's say you pay a contractor to build a building for you and you want to only pay them if the building is built. So you need a smart contract for that. And then the smart contract pays them only if they built the building to your spec. And that's it. So that's why you use smart contracts. And he raised a lot of money, actually. So he probably knows what he's talking about.
So it's curious. I don't often ask people, do you know, tell me what do you think a smart contract is? It's not something I ask. Even people that I know are doing ICOs or things like that. Usually the ICOs are utility, something, you use this token for the dentist or for the food industry,
beauty bars. Industry.
Yeah. Yes. Makeup, anything. Like, there's coins for anything. You really have a lot of choice, colors, interesting names. It's it's really good.
Yeah.
But then you get some other ones, right, that want to give you dividends or want to be dynamic, shadow, naked stable coin.
Yes.
Like, without the stable coin without behind it, but with an algorithm that will definitely hold to, you know, all the volatility and, you know.
Yeah, it will be stable and there's nothing to worry about.
So those are really the smart contracts, not the payment, the utility token stuff. Those are just, you know, very useful payment methods. But yeah. The smart contract real stuff is the one that, you know, knows the price of things somehow magically without an oracle. And that could easily enforce the rules, but no, it will publish it to the blockchain so that another smart contract can read it, and I don't know, run a method on the smart contract which calls into the base class method of some other smart contract which someone just recently updated without running the static tools.
Listen, Lawrence, I don't know what you just said, but I want to give you $50 million. It sounds like a great idea. I want you to build it. Yes. It's a great idea.
This is the third ICO this evening that I thought of. I don't know if it's the most successful, but it's certainly...
No, but you're late. You're late. You should have come like a year ago. Now it's a very bad time for an ICO.
You think I wouldn't raise money?
It depends. If you do it on Binance, you can raise a lot of money. But only Binance manages to raise money for ICOs right now.
Okay, I didn't know this. Let me write this down, 1 second. And so do you need to be friends with Binance? Do you need to pay them in advance? How does it work?
I assume you have to pay them in advance and as you go, too.
Look,
because
I cannot find...
You need to get listed and then you have to pay for volume and so on.
So there's an entrance fee or not? Sorry, I missed that because I couldn't find the paper to write this down.
$100,000.
Okay.
For listing. Yeah, so it's not a lot. If a year ago it was probably 50 times that, so it's not a lot.
Do I have to have the money, or can I raise that with a pre-ICO discount?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure. I can get back to you with that. I'm not sure. Let's say both. Both. Think about it.
You know, you also need to keep apart some money for marketing. Probably most of it, you think.
Yeah,
And then find some people that are willing to put their faces on the...
Yeah.
Right? Those are also expensive.
Yeah. It's actually not funny. A lot of times the founders don't get a lot of money in the end. They give everything to exchanges and marketing and celebrities, and there's nothing left to buy a yacht or a castle with. So it's very sad. You know, you raise money, you hope you can buy a castle, and you realize that you can't.
So you're saying that there's companies that... No. I mean, that sounds horrifying and absolutely, like, the saddest thing I heard about, the raising money...
Yeah, there are companies that did the whole thing.
Unregulated industry.
Yeah, there are companies who did the whole thing, and they didn't even end up with that much money because they gave everything away for other stuff, and then... Well, you know, the market downturn and so on.
No,
so
that I understand, but they usually deliver on the white paper, right? Like they have very realistic and impossible, you know, ideas.
Yeah,
often they make sure that using blockchain, they can really solve the root of their issues, and with the right marketer, with the right fancy UI. You can really challenge the world.
Yeah. Yeah, some people believe that. Some people believe that. Some people are just scammers, but some people really...
No, that's minority.
No, that's a minority. You're right. You're right. That's rare. That's very rare. Most people are doing the right thing in the industry.
I think CoinMarketCap doesn't even list the scams, right? They have a filter.
Yeah. Everything on CoinMarketCap is honest coins and honest projects. They have very strict guidelines.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I have no idea how that works. Do you need to be listed on an exchange before CoinMarketCap starts it? Or is there a package where you can get both?
Oh, it would be great if you could get both.
You do need it. I mean, I think you should get a YouTube channel, a white paper, legal backing, plus an incubation place for letters and, you know, people writing emails and, yeah, you know, saying hello.
and everything together.
The listing, maybe even some ads on the common, you know, the very nice journals, professional journals publishing on Bitcoin. And other very valid blockchains in the space. Those are always objective. All of them. I mean, some of them not, but those are like...
The vast majority is very objective.
Google doesn't even list the...
if you search Google, you only get good results. You never get something that is fishy. Never.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So
that's great. The world we live in is great. We need to be more thankful, I think.
It's just not fast enough, though, right? Like, we need to improve the UI of stuff. We need to improve the full nodes.
Faster blocks. Faster,
yeah.
And smaller blocks. Let's change to something.
I didn't want to touch that subject, but now that you're bringing it up.
We will touch it.
Okay.
Should blocks be small? Lawrence, should blocks be 300 kilobytes in Bitcoin?
Well, they can be, right? Like, nobody's stopping anybody at any time to make a 300 kilobyte block.
Right.
They can do it. So now, why are they not doing it? Are they not a good citizen? Is that what you're saying of the miners? Is that what you're preparing to say live to the miners? That they're not being a good citizen of the Bitcoin blockchain.
Of course not. Of course that's not what I'm saying. I love miners. It's sometimes blocks are small, right?
So those are good miners. I mean, I remember there was a miner a while ago always making very small blocks. They were the best miner.
Yeah,
they had advanced the technology. They something called the booster app or
up boost
yes.
I think
turbo boost, something like that. But blocks so small, man, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was very friendly of them. Yes. Because they respect the network and they want the blockchain to be small. No, but there are good reasons why people want blocks to... Well, I don't know if people really want blocks to be smaller. There is a good reason that Luke
Some wants. People do. I know at least of a few online.
I know at least one.
No, I need more than one. I know more than one. And also, go on that person and look at the likes, look at the retweets.
Right.
So, look, unless that person has lots of sock puppets.
Yeah, you said Luke.
You said Luke? I said
you
that
said
person.
Luke.
No,
you said
Luke, that person.
That person. It's a word with two meanings. It's fine.
Okay, have a look.
Have a look, yes.
Okay. Yes.
So, yeah. No, there are a lot of... I guess there are some people who want that. But I don't know. I mean, they say that if the blocks are smaller, then it's going to be easier to sync for the first time. I guess that's the... Are people going to sync blocks? Like IBD is this initial block download.
But what are you going to do? Are you going to copy it from someone? No. Are you going to...
When you're born, you copy the blocks from your parents. No? That makes sense. I mean,
so you just need to wait a generation?
Also... Yeah. Basically, that's what you have to do. Are you saying that Bitcoin is not going to be around in the next generation? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's Bitcoin.
Forever.
It's in for the long run.
Yeah. I mean, you inherit the state from your parents or whoever brings you up. It makes a lot of sense.
How do you validate that they are your parents?
No, that's doable. That's doable. No, you're joking, but you can do that. You can do that if you want.
No, no. Look, genetic editing, it's something.
It's a thing. It's a very real thing that we should be very careful about.
And there's lots of scammers around.
Yeah, a lot of people claimed to be my parents. It happens all the time. People just show up and tell me they're my parents. I hate it. It happens around holidays.
I just had two, but they were very insistent.
So you believed them?
For a while.
Yeah. Do you trust or verify?
I told you, it's hard to verify. I mean, how do you... Do you have the DNA skill to verify, or are you going to trust a doctor?
Well, you can sit down and learn about it, you know? Learn about it for a few years, and then go do the check.
It takes too much time. I mean, it's all like the Intel processors.
It's your parents. What's more important than family?
No. I'm not suggesting anything about that. It's just...
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I hope that next time we'll have some better ideas on verifying parenthood, because it's very important. It's something that people should be caring about.
No, but we should talk about hardware next time a little bit about, I don't know, FPGA or things that are possible to do in order to... Because there's another problem, right? The hardware that can we trust or not trust, and in general we shouldn't. So should we try to have alternatives?
Yeah.
And some of them are slow, some of them are maybe approaching reasonable, you know, speeds.
Yeah, trust is difficult. Yeah, we should talk about hardware next time.
Yeah.
Okay, this was great. I think this was a fun first episode.
Yeah, I agree. It was authentic.
It was very authentic. You should go and delete Coinbase now. That's your next step.
I never had an account there in first place.
Yeah, that's very, very believable.
No. 3 years ago, Giacomo tried to convince me because he was getting a fee cut.
Giacomo is a shiller for Coinbase. I didn't know that.
For a very short time, when he didn't know better, and he only did that because they were paying a lot for each new user, and so he had lots of friends, and you know, just buy from them and then just get your coins on green address or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it didn't last very long.
I'll remember to bring it up next time I speak with Giacomo.
Yep. I will. All right.
Okay, so great. So thank you, everyone. And we'll see you again next time in Reckless Review.
Episode 2.
Episode 2 next time. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.